Okay. Yeah, let's just pray. We'll get right into it tonight. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, so much for, Lord, the life that you've given us in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that in the midst of all that's going on in the world, Lord, that we can come together in your name, Lord Jesus. And Father, we can meet anywhere, Lord God. And wherever it is that we come together, Father, your presence and your Holy Spirit is with us, Lord God. And we thank you, Father, that you're with us this evening. And so, Lord, Father, even as we would open up your word, Lord, even as we would study the scriptures, Father, we pray, Lord, that your spirit that leads and guides us into all truth would be with us, Father, in power and in strength. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you would open up your word and your truth to us, Lord, and to our hearts. Father, every hindrance, Lord God, every bondage, Father, just everything, Lord, that may be keeping people, Father, right now in their minds, Lord, we just leave that at your feet. And Lord God, we trust you, Lord. We know, Lord, that you are in full control of our lives and of our circumstances. And so, Lord, we hold nothing, Lord God, in reserve. But Lord, we just come before you right now. We pray, Lord, that you would be with us, Father. Lord, we pray, Lord God, for the words that are spoken here, Father, that they would glorify you, Lord, and that they would lift up the truth, even as you are truth, Lord God. So, Lord, as we go forward, we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would go ahead of us. And Lord, I yield myself to you. And I pray, Lord, have your will and your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. So last week, we did a thorough setup for the series that we're going to go into. And this may not be a very long series. We're going to see how much we can get through on reasonable speed. But if you have questions or something like that, stop, say, look, what about this? I don't agree about this, whatever it is. And, you know, let's work through some things. Because, see, one thing that I've noticed is we've thrown around so many phrases and sayings, and people have gotten so religified that when it comes down to your personal walk and your personal connection and your relationship with the Father, it is turned into something where in a lot of ways it's something that they do, but it's not someone who they know. Now this is eternal life, that they may know God and His true Son, Jesus Christ, who He has sent, John 17:3. That's what life is. So it's a relationship that we're talking about. And it's a relationship that life is encompassed in that relationship. Eternity is encompassed in that relationship. It's a state of being. God is I am, and all that are in Him exist. Everything outside of Him, nothing exists outside of God. So when we begin to go into a subject like prayer, what we're talking about is, ultimately, we're talking about your connecting up with the Father. We're talking about you connecting with the One who made you, who created you, who loves you, who knows you. We're talking about that connection that you were made to walk in your original design. See, you were designed and made a certain way. You were designed, even like, you know, a car is designed to drive. If it doesn't work, if it doesn't drive, then it's not functioning the way that it was made. The same thing like people. People were designed to have connection and to be in relationship and in communion with God. So we were made and tuned for that type of existence. And so when people don't live in that existence, they live in a state of malfunction. And so that's why so many people are bouncing around looking for all kinds of things to fulfill their lives, and they're chasing after all kinds of vanity. Because in the end of it, they're looking for something to help them fulfill a function that they're not doing by the very nature of being cut off and separated from God. So, so now when we the world and everything in the world, the world system that's at enmity with God, that's an enemy of God, an enemy of the kingdom of God. Last week we talked about the kingdoms. You know, we talked about the spiritual kingdom that Jesus Christ set up on the world. The world system that's an enemy of the kingdom of God, everything that it does and every design of it is designed to keep you from entering into connection with the Father. And if you are in connection with the Father, to hinder your ability to stay in connection with Him. So it's continuously trying to entrap, bind, stop you. So you have to understand that that's part of the game that's being played. So even sometimes you may just come out of a great, wonderful time in the presence of God, and 2 seconds later, some guy does something completely bizarre, and you're like, where did that come from? And because, see, the world is also linked up. The world is linked into the world. So people are spiritually linked into the world and the world system. And so they do what they're in connection with there. And part of it is to game you, to scam you, to trick you, to try to harvest the life that's in you, because the life of God that lives inside of you, there's no life in and of them. So they work to game you, there is nothing in them because they're broken off and separated, like John 15 says, they're not in the vine. So the only way they can get any kind of life, like vampires, they have to suck it off of you. So you are constantly working to walk this life out. But when we begin to talk about prayer, it's your connection with the Father. It's a state of being that God desires for you to live in, where you are constantly able to hear, commune with, walk with, just like you would, if you had somebody that's right next to you in the physical, it's even closer than that. Because it's even in the dimension of spirit within. So let's start with the word, and we're going to bounce around a little bit tonight. Matthew chapter 6. Yeah, we got the Bibles going now. Matthew chapter 6. Okay. And verse 5. And I like the red letters because it's Jesus, the Son of God, talking. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, that they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Okay. The series that we're starting, it's on prayer. Now the goal of what we're going to go through is to grow in our relationship and connection with the Father. John 17:3. Let me just read. This is a key verse in Scripture. John 17:3 says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." So that is eternal life. So when people are talking about, you know, waiting for eternal life, and I know this is it, and you can live in eternity now. You can move and shift in spirit into the place of being an eternal being in connection with the Father now. It doesn't have to be something that you're waiting for. See, so often people are waiting for something to happen. They're waiting for the perfect job. They're waiting for something to come their way. They're waiting for some break. They're waiting constantly for, now God is I am. So if you're still waiting for something, then what are you waiting for if God is present right now? Now, you have multiple tracks going on in your life at the same time. You have a spiritual track that's going on, but we are living in time. In the spirit, you actually exist even in another place even right now. Paul wrote in scriptures and he said, you're seated in heavenly places. So you exist in the very presence of God even now in spirit, and yet you're only conscious of this reality. What happens when you start connecting up with the Father in prayer, in true prayer, not this, you know, Hail Mary full of grace, but when you actually start connecting up with the Father in communication through Jesus Christ, what happens is you actually start connecting up with your true self as well. Your eternal nature, your eternal being that is in the Father, and you start connecting up with the Father in eternity. So, when Paul was writing about, he said, boy, I saw some things, I got caught up into this level of heaven, and I saw stuff I can't even express to you, because he started talking about, again, he started shifting out of the dimension of this 3D base reality, base world that we live in, and he started seeing things that as they really are in that fourth dimension in spirit. See, the world of spirit, we already established this when we did the New Covenant in Christ. The world of spirit is real. The dimension of the natural is the illusion. When they were building the tabernacle, they were instructed to build it exactly as the model they were shown, because they were making a natural replica of a spiritual reality. So when we are, the world of spirit is the world where that's what lasts. Everything in the natural is wearing out, passing away. Nobody's around that was here 200 years ago. I mean, where are they? Where'd they go? You know? And, you know, newsflash, none of us will probably be here in 100 years. So every one of us is passing through. All of the pursuits that we have here in the world, all of that stuff, in and of itself, Solomon, when he was writing Ecclesiastes, he said it's all vanity. This is the guy that, talk about investments. I mean, Bill Gates is still trying to catch up to this guy. So, but he, having taken everything out to the very end, he said it's all vanity. There's nothing to it. It's all just a waste of and so for him, when he looked at that, he brought it down in the end to look, you know, actually, let's look at that. I'd like to do this. I'd like to break from my notes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. So Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Proverbs when he was really smart, and Ecclesiastes after he went through midlife crisis. Midlife crisis, yeah. So verse chapter 12, verse 13 said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So after he went through everything in the earth, that was his conclusion about what the summation of during that time and walking in the situation and the design of what was in the earth at that time, what he had to work with. So, so basically, the goal of what we're going through in this series is to grow in our relationship and connection with the Father. The purpose is to establish a scriptural foundation for effective prayer within the New Covenant. So, we want to go through with the Scriptures and see what the Scriptures have to say about what this is, what it is to connect up with the Father, how that works, what that means. Why is it that sometimes when you pray, things don't happen? You know, wouldn't you like to know? You know, we'll get there. And outcomes, for the active listener to have a scriptural understanding of the basics of prayer, hindrances to prayer, understanding the applications of prayer to our spiritual battle, developing both the act and state of prayer, and understanding useful tools like praying in the Spirit, praying scriptures, There are things that you can do that will strengthen you, strengthen your spirit, man. So, and governing manifestations, peace, gentleness, and faith. And I know at some point we'll get to these in future. But peace is God's plan for us to have internal serenity amidst external circumstances by being at oneness with His Spirit and His Word. Gentleness is for us to act and to react, and faith is for us to come under the authority and protection of the rightly divided Word of God. Okay, prayer regulates the mind and the thoughts. So when you pray and when you connect up with the Father, your thoughts, your mind, you're in a different state of existence. You know, when you spend some time in prayer with God, after you come out of it, there's a stillness. And then what usually seems to happen is then you start going about what you have to do for the day, and it's like, you know, here comes the cars on the road, and then pretty soon it's all gone out the window. Okay. Back to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus, in verse 5, when he says, when thou prayest. So he doesn't say, if thou prayest. The same thing when it says, what about fasting too, when it goes on to the next, in verse 16, where it says, moreover, when ye fast. So it's not if you fast and if you pray, it's when you do these things. The reason why it's a when is because, okay, look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, and Luke chapter 4, verse 4. They're pretty much the same thing. But so just flip back one page. Matthew 4 and verse 4 says, and this is Jesus in the temptations, but this is the only part I want to focus on. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, you don't live on just physical meat. You don't live on just physical, that feeds your physical body. But you are a multi-dimensional being. You are made up of different parts besides just a physical being. Like we said, the 200 years ago, everybody's gone. Where did they go? Did they just cease to exist? Or do they continue to exist, but what's the true nature of who they are? See, the body you're in is just a shell. The body you're in is like the car or the three-wheeler or whatever it is that you took to get here. It's just the vehicle that carries your spirit. So your spirit is residing in the body, but the body is the car, it's your earth suit. To get around here, if you were on the moon, you'd need a moon suit to walk around there. While you're here on the earth, it's just more sophisticated. But it's what carries you around. And so, and it wears out, it gets older, and then pretty soon it's gone. But the eternal nature of who you are, the spirit and the soul of who you are, never ends. And so that, when the body is done, and the separation comes from your body, you basically go on to the place and to wherever it is that you've set your heart and intentions and your connection is with. So if you are connected up and linked into the world, that's where you will go and spend your eternity with. If you are connected up and in relationship with the Father, that's where you end up spending your eternity with. So ultimately people get the desire of their heart when it comes to life after. Yeah. Well, it's not. Ultimately, what happens is that people get what they choose. You know, our existence in this world, the big part of it is to make one big choice and then to live that choice out for the rest of your time here. That big choice is, do you choose the Father? Do you choose to raise your hand up to Him and say, God, here I am, I'm your son or I'm your daughter. Save me, help me, I need you. And he reveals Christ in you, because no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. They draw you. Christ is revealed to you, and you come to the Father through him. Or do you choose to say, no, thank you very much, I choose to do it my way, or the world's way, or it's all the same. It's all those paths lead to the same destination. They all do lead to Rome. So there is another way. There's one way to the Father, all the rest of them lead to Rome. But ultimately, it's do your own thing, have your own way, or go the way of the world, sell yourself to the system for provision. But in doing that, selling your soul to be something here, they get something out of that. So, but what happens is when the Spirit is separated from the body, either you are in the Father or you're not. Either you are in Christ or you're not. And if you are in Him, then you remain in Him for all eternity. If you're not, then what happens is you're out. You're devoid from
Him. We can choose.
We get to make a choice. But, because see, here's the thing. God doesn't override the free will of man. That's one thing that's amazing. Okay, let's go back to the prayer. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9 and verse 10. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. See, what even Jesus, when he's training the early disciples to pray, he said, look, you choose to yield your will to the will of the Father, because God won't override your will. So you have to make that decision to get off the throne of your life and let God sit there. You have to make the decision for Him to be Lord of your life, and for Him to take that position, or you choose to do it your own way. But you make that choice. You make that decision. So people make that choice every day. They make that choice it's a decision that also comes out of the soul position that they have. See, when someone is in a soul position where they are in connection with the Father, you choose that. You choose His way, His will, versus the people of the world. They don't want that. They killed Jesus because He exposed their hearts and their motives and their desires were evil, and what they did was evil, and they didn't have any place for it. They didn't want it. So they choose something else. Okay. Now, spiritual bread. So man does not live by bread alone. Okay. But by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Quickly look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. And I just want to establish this, so because my opinion is not what you need. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, and then now cross-reference that with John chapter 6, verse 51, where... one more page. 6, verse 51, which says, I am the living bread, Jesus talking, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So, Jesus is your manna from heaven. Jesus is your communion. Jesus is your daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our communion, our connection, the bread from heaven. Give us this day Jesus. When we pray, we come into connection with the Father, and we ask for the manifestation of the Son of God's life in and through us. We yield ourselves to that so that He would work in and through us. Okay, how does this happen? I mean, how is it that we have access to the Father like this? I mean, it's a beautiful thing, but because I always want to touch on some stuff that we've already laid in a foundation with, because we're continuously building as we're together. John chapter 19, verse 30. You guys would be expert page turners. John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." He gave, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And the Jews. No, wait. I'm sorry, it was a different gospel. I grabbed this one right on the way out the door. The veil of the temple at the moment that Jesus gave up the ghost, the moment that he said it's finished and he gave up the ghost, the veil of the temple was rent in two. When that took place, the temple was a natural example of a spiritual reality. The separation between man and the Father was no longer a barrier because of what Christ Jesus had done. So Christ Jesus makes the way through his body and through his blood that pays for the sins that we had that were a block for us to be able to reach the Father. Through him, now we're able to connect up with God. Whereas before, we couldn't connect with the Father. So God desired always to dwell among his people. That's even why.
Why does that have to be through a temple?
It doesn't. See, there is no more temple for the Spirit of God. Remember when we went through and we established the scriptures which says that God does not dwell in temples made by human hands.
So, what's the significance of the veil tearing? I mean, is it in the temple already?
Yeah, because this was, again, the transition from the Old Covenant into the New. What happened with Jesus Christ and the significance of the veil tearing was that up until that point, man was separated from the Father. Here, let me show you some. Isaiah, hold on. Isaiah 59, verse 2. Under the Old Covenant. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 said, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Specific context, but general principle overall. The sin of man, and there's a lot of things that went into it, but basically man was cut off from his ability to connect with the Father because of sin. See, God is holy. God is perfect. And so nothing that's not like him can be in his presence. So we couldn't connect up with him because of that. So we, born into sinful flesh, making all kinds of mistakes, we're just like, from the very start, it's like, we can't connect up with the very one that made us. So, though we're designed originally to have that connection, to walk in that connection, because of the fact that we're separated from him, because of a flaw, a malfunction, a defect, we still can't. So people throughout history went through all these series of penance and things that they were trying to do. And if you ever go visit a Hindu temple in India, and you just go into, like I went to the one in, what was it, the Madurai temple, which is one of the big mother temples in India, and you go inside and people are rolling on the floor and running around statues and do all of these things that they're doing to try to appease some god, to get some connection, to get some favor in the world, just for something. They're begging. And because people, they still intrinsically know there's something that they're made for, but they just can't reach it. And the problem is that man never could. And so the Father, knowing our predicament, even established from the foundation of the world that he would send his Son to the world to die for us, to pay the price that we couldn't pay, and through what he did for us on the cross, now we then can connect up again with the Father through the blood of Jesus, through his body that was broken for us. So now, through him, he being the high priest, through him we now have direct access to the very presence of God. So we didn't have that before, now we do. So before that the curse of the law was you needed a man to get to God. You needed somebody to go in every year, offer sacrifices, do all this stuff, and then at the end of it, you know, you were separated from him. So In Christ there's no more separation from the Father for those that are in Him. See, outside of God there is separation. See, outside of Jesus, if you're not in Christ, you're separated, you're detached from the one that made you. So okay, let me show this to you. Alright, I brought this board for a reason. Okay. I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but now when we talk about being in Christ Jesus, right? Okay, let me do it like this. Jesus talks about Him being the vine. So let's just say Jesus. Okay, so Jesus is the vine in, what is it, John 15? John 15. John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. If any man remains in me, my words remain in him, he shall bear much fruit. So, okay, and Jesus is also the Alpha and the Omega. That's Revelation 22:13. So, 22:13. Jesus is also the author and the finisher of our faith. And the finisher of our faith. That's Hebrews 12, verse 2. And, okay, now also, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. So, Proverbs 18, verse 10. Okay, you're starting to see a pattern. Sometimes you have to see this. So Jesus is, scriptures talk about the narrow gate. You know, enter through the narrow gate, for broad is the way that leads to destruction. You know, enter in the narrow gate. This is, so Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So now, little priests, priesthood of all believers, right? Here we are. You are in Jesus Christ. So you come in when the Father opens your eyes to Him. What happens is you come from death, which is outside of Him. If you're outside of Christ, you're broken off, you're dying, you're just spiritually starving, you're a little vampire running around looking for somebody to suck life off of. You come in here, and now all of a sudden you're connected up to life. You're connected up to. So when we talk about praying in Jesus' name, right? John, here. John chapter 16, verse 26. Let me do this. I want to show you this. Because this is, again, something that's been mistaught. John chapter 16, verse 26. Says, and that day ye shall, okay. And that day you shall ask in my name, and I say unto you that I will pray to the Father for you. For the Father himself... okay. There's another one too, which says that if you ask for anything in my name, you know, I will do it. These are both similar. But basically, where people, they start saying, okay, they start praying in Jesus' name. And they start using it like, you know, a credit card or something. You know, it's like, okay. They start, you know, in Jesus' name, I pray for this, in Jesus' name. And they start slobbering, and they just, you know, and it's like if they say it louder, you know, something's going to happen. So they start saying it really loud. But the problem is, they're still here. So they're not in Jesus. They're outside of Jesus, trying to use His name as a validation for something, but they're not in Christ. See, in Him, we live, move, have our being. When you pray, what happens is you come into this place of connection with the Father through Jesus, and you are in Him. So when you are in Him and you're living in this state of existence, what happens is you are praying in Jesus' name. Even if you may not use that like an American Express card and just say it every 10 minutes, but you are in Jesus. So you're in a place where you are when you pray. See, here's the contrast that to Matthew 7, verse 23-24, where Matthew 7, verse 22 says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?' And then I will profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquities.'" So, here are people that use Jesus' name. And they use it to prophesy, they use it to cast out devils, they use it to do wonderful works. But again, what's eternal life? That they may know God and His one true Son who He sent, Jesus Christ, John 17:3. So, they don't know the Father. And the things that they do outside of Him, separate from Him, by their own self-motivation, their own personal agendas. And see, the name of God carries power. Excuse me, it has power, but and He can work His purposes through a donkey. So just when somebody prays and a miracle happens or something like that, it should be steering you towards the Father anyways. If it's not, then there's something that's wrong, because a lot of people are doing things for their own egos. But this passage of Scripture where it talks about people that, it's a frightening awakening for them when they realize, wait a second, all this stuff that we were doing, it was, but we missed it. The Father, they were never in Jesus. He said, "I never knew you." Did He say that? Yeah, He said that. "I never knew you." So they were never in a place where they were in connection to the Father. They had never come into Christ. And they had used Christ for accomplishing whatever it was that they wanted to do. So He was their means to an end, just like someone might use a venture capitalist, or somebody might use some business connection or some, but they had a personal agenda in mind. They used Jesus Christ as a means to try to get to that, to be something in the world. They did that, and then at the end of it, when God sees through their heart, then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, wait a second, but didn't we check the register at church? Weren't we there? I mean, did we miss it? It's like, yeah, you missed it. You never were connected up with me. So, okay. So, let's go back to foundational text, chapter 6, verse 7. "But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." See, the world and the religious system of the world, the religious systems of the world, they're based on form, on methods, on words. It's not on heart and spirit. So, if you just say this right, if you just name it and claim it this way, you see what I'm saying? They're set up so everybody's looking for this formula. And it's more like a magic spell. They're looking for some incantation that they can say, and then they hit. Then they get something from God. God is not going to be tricked by anybody's... You might be able to fool your grandmother and your mom and your best friend. You cannot. God sees your heart. So when people, when they come with this kind of pretense, they never connect up with the Father. Those who trust in the external acts end up trusting even in themselves. Look at Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. Okay. Let's go through what Jesus giving another example of it. Okay. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, Wait, I'll put on my preacher voice. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Yeah, the preacher prayer voice. You know, they always have a special voice to pray when it's like Sunday. It's like, brother. So, anyways. But God sees past the... He sees right to the core of it. He says about this Pharisee, he says that he prayed thus with himself. So he went all the way to the temple to talk to himself, because he's not talking to God. He's not connecting up with the Father. He's praying to himself. And he's trusting again in his own righteousness, in his own position, in his own external works, which scriptures tell us that your best works are like filthy rags in God's sight. And I'd be a little graphic about what that term filthy rags, the analogy is with the menstrual cloth that the women used to throw on the side of the road as they were traveling. That was when they said So when they talk about your works being like filthy rags on the side, this is not like the oil rag that they used, you know, at the garage. So just to you know, in the hot sun, just to make a point that okay, you think your righteousness is something before God. That's what God thinks of the best thing that you've ever done in any day. So again, coming back to Jesus is the reason that you have connection to the Father. And so again, these guys were going to the temple because at that time the way was not made to the Father through Christ Jesus, so they were still observing and functioning under the old covenant. And in this situation, the publican standing far off, he wouldn't lift up his... So he came before God with humility. He knew that God saw who he was. He knew that God saw everything about him, everything that he did. He was a tax collector, and he was probably somebody that people didn't like very much. And he knew that. And he knew that he had done some pretty bad things, but he knew also the one that could help him. So he went to God and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So he came to God in honesty, whereas the other man came to God in his own deception, and he didn't even come to God. He came to put on a show for everybody else to see, and he just came and made a little speech about himself, and then went home. And so which one, Jesus, this is Jesus' words, not mine. He said, which one of these went home justified? This guy, the guy that came before the Father with humility and came before God with honesty. So, don't pray with yourself. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 17. I'll show you this again, because this goes throughout Scripture. God always shows when God was selecting and picking David. And 1 Samuel chapter 16. And so Samuel is sent to anoint the next king because Saul botched it. And so now the different sons are coming by him. Verse 6, and it came to pass that when they were come, that he looked on, this is Samuel, he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on his height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as men see it. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh at the heart. And then he goes through the rest of the sons, and none of them meet the approval of God. And he's like, wait, you got somebody else? He's like, well, yeah, there's this David. But see, God looks directly through you. He sees every aspect of who you are. So you're not going to pull one over on him. You can fool other people. And see, that's why too, again, you know, Samuel, here's the prophet. Here's God's prophet, big man during the day, and he's like, boy, this guy's got to be the king. And so people are fooled by outward appearance. And that's why the religious systems of the world, all of them, including the fallen religious system that claims Christianity, you have true followers of Christ within there, but you also have a tainted religious system that is at enmity with God, at enmity that would string up Jesus today just like they did 2,000 years ago if he was walking around. They have no place for the truth in their hearts. That religious system, it focuses on the externals. It has to. So they're very, very focused on the suits and the robes and the collars and the stage and the podium and the platforms and the communion trays and all these different things that give you a semblance of religion, a semblance of godliness, or as scriptures talked about in the last days, they'll have a form of godliness, but to deny the power thereof. They'll have a form of spirit, they'll have a form that looks right to the outward appearance that would fool anybody that didn't have spiritual eyes to see what was really going on, but it'll deny the power thereof. And one of the biggest ways they deny the power thereof is the fact that Jesus finished it all. See, the war's already over. It's already done. In Christ Jesus, it's finished. It's been won. You are now set free in Him. So, but they said, no, 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 it's not done. You still need me to tell you that a volcano is going to come and eat all your children. So it's like, no. So it's, sorry, I couldn't help it. But it's not the form. It's open communication that the Father wants to have with you. And when you a good prayer to ask God is, God, let me see myself as I really am in your sight. Give me a picture of myself, really. You know, I want to know how you see me. You know, and then also show me who I am in Christ Jesus. See, the reason that we are anything is because we came into the Father. And in Christ, He makes us something. He makes us actually the very bride of Christ to be married to Him for all eternity. So He transforms us because of Him, not because of us. So when we pray, what happens is we are now connecting up with the Father who did so much so that we could. And it's not dependent and not contingent on your form as such. Although we will talk about some things that are form related, but it's the heart of it, the heart of the matter. So God sees right through you. He knows every motive, every intention, every thought, every desire. He knows where you're coming from. So like the Pharisee and the publican, those two guys, when they showed up, the reason Jesus even had to point it out is because everybody thought the situation would have been reversed. Everybody in the natural would have said, well, boy, you know, so glad that Brother Pharisee showed up today and, you know, he blessed us to spend some time with us. And boy, I'm glad that other guy cleared off. Because the way that they would have seen it by the natural eyes is, here's Mr. Holier Than Thou, and here is the outcast guy that's, you know, taking our taxes on them. But God looks past that and He says, no, you've missed it. This is the guy who connected up with me. This is the guy who is praying to himself and never doesn't know me. So, again, it comes down to a heart level. Do you know the Father or not? And every person has to search themselves to ask that question. This life is, you know, during this life, ask that question. It's better to know here than when you check out. Do you know Him? Are you connected with Him? If you are not, call out to Him. Because those that will call on His name, He does draw, He saves them. He helps them. If you will call out and just say, help, God, I don't know you. If you will do that, He will reach down. He does that for us. He went through so much to do that for His people. So, okay. So, okay, back to a little bit more about the grounds for our prayers. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, actually, let me go back a little bit more than that. I'm just going to do the whole chapter. There's something, again, I said this before, but when the scriptures get out in the air, when you read the scriptures out loud, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you're struggling with something, sometimes grab the word and don't just read it. Read it out loud. Read it in your room, but just read it out loud. Put those words in the air. Something happens in the dimension of the spirit when, in the natural realm, you are reading the words and it's coming through you. So, anyways, one of those things I know it's there, but I can't. So, chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, at least a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that hear it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it is remained that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today have after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto his eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, there it is, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Praise God. So, we connect up with the Father. We come to the very throne of God through our High Priest, Jesus Christ, whom we live and move and have our being in Him. So, in Christ Jesus, we have access to the Father because of Him. So, so that's the foundation for it. It's not, so when you call out to God, when somebody calls out to Him, and there is a name that's above every other name, and when that name is applied, when the name of Jesus, Yahshua, God's salvation, Jesus' name in the Hebrew was, when the angel gave the name to Mary, it was Yahushua. It was meant God's salvation. So literally when he was walking around and they said, oh, there goes Yahshua, there goes God's salvation. So God's salvation, can you come out and play? I mean, it's like Jesus, that was His name. And so when God's salvation went to the cross, God's salvation died for your... I mean, it's like He put that name, and that name that's above every other name. And so there's power in that name. And when somebody calls out to God and they call on the name of God, He does that for them. The name is applied. The blood of Jesus is applied over their sins, over every mistake that they've ever made. So if you think, you know, you're a horrible person because you did whatever, you know, there's no more of a mass murderer than Jesus Christ, because He took it all upon Himself on the cross. So Jesus took upon Himself the sins of the whole world, every act of adultery, every rape, every child abuse, every whatever it is, He took it upon Himself on the cross, bore it in Himself, became sin for us, so that in Him, and put it to death on the cross, so that in Him now we are connected to the Father. So He put it to death, He absorbed in Himself our sins, everything that we've done. So then now, when you call on Him, He takes that upon Himself and He exchanges resurrection life for you. So you come alive with Him because of what He did for you on the cross, and coming back, because death and sin couldn't hold Him because He was sinless. So He put it all to death there, and then the Spirit connects us up with the Father if we will choose it, if we'll call on Him. Okay. So that is the foundation for our approaching the Father, is just Jesus Christ. So when we come to the Father and we pray in the name of Jesus, you are praying from a positional state. You're praying from a state of being in Him. So, okay, let me use this as an object lesson. So, for example, you can remain now in a state of connection with the Father throughout your entire day. So let's just talk a little bit about the difference between the act of prayer and the state of prayer. When you go to pray, you can basically, you're making sure that you're linked up with the Father through Jesus. So, and you feel that when you come into His presence. You know that, okay, what happens is you can, from that point, you can remain in that state for the rest of the days. Because the Scriptures tell us to pray continually, but you're not going to be on your knees 24/7. So, Damitav and Natasha, I'm going to use you an example. So, nice married couple. You can remain in Christ and have a disagreement about something. But when you shift from a disagreement into a fight, you come here. So now you're not, because what's happened is you stepped out of Christ and you stepped into your flesh. And so now you're no longer in Jesus, you're in Damitav. And you're angry and you're mad and you're not in a place where you can hear from Him. So now your ego is involved, your emotions are involved, and you're angry. Or Natasha, vice versa, same thing. But so for us, what happens is if when you're walking through your day and you've been linked up with the Father, stay in a state of prayer. So what happens is, when the things that come to you, just bring it back here. Bring it back here, so that what happens is you can remain in a place where you're constantly in connection with the Father, where He can speak to you about anything and everything that's going on in your life. Because see, you want, again, in prayer what happens is you want connection with the Father, because He's the one leading and guiding you through this life. This world is very much a minefield. And we talked in an earlier lesson, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end leads to death. The natural thinking that you have, left to your own devices, you're guaranteed to destroy your own life. Because every idea that you may have, the world system is set up to entrap you in your own thinking. The only way that you make it through this minefield is when the Spirit of God, leading and guiding you, says, go left, go right, go up, go down, duck. Because He, by doing that, leads and guides you through this life versus you trying to do it on your own. Especially in the world now, the way that the world is today, my goodness, I do not want to try to do this on my own here. I need Him to lead me. Because if He doesn't lead me, I have no idea where I'm supposed to go or what I'm supposed to do next. But if He's leading you, then you just remain in step with Him, and each thing He'll reveal His plan and His purpose while you're on the journey with Him. So if you get pulled out, bless you, if you get pulled out for one thing or another, you screw up. Willful sin. Repent. Come back in here. Stay in that state of connection with the Father through Jesus. Does that make sense? Okay. So you see the difference between that and somebody using Jesus' name as a stamp to try to get something done. Because many, many times people do that. And so they will, again, polish themselves up for Sunday, put on the collar, go and then use Jesus' name, but they were never in Him. And so you wonder why those prayers fall flat, because there's nothing in there's no connection in the first place. So, alright, I want to spend just about, alright, let's go back to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to spend about 10 minutes on this. Matthew chapter 6. Let's go back to the disciples' prayer, otherwise known as the Lord's Prayer, but the Lord's Prayer is in John 17. This is the disciples' prayer, because they said, teach us how to pray. Alright. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Okay. You can pray this in 20 seconds. You can pray this over 7 hours. I mean, this is not a magical form of words, but he's giving, for them, he was giving something that was a form of a progression. You remember when we talked about this? We already talked about this once in the New Covenant in Christ. What did we say about this prayer? Yeah, if you flip the prayer, what happens is you can actually take this prayer through the tabernacle. And you can take it through even the different stages of people going in to the Father or trying to approach the Father. So, okay. With the tabernacle, with the natural tabernacle spoken about in Hebrews chapter 8, they were instructed to build an example, a natural example of a spiritual reality. So what you end up seeing is they build something so people realize, okay, this is what's going on in the spirit. And then when Jesus makes the way, all of a sudden now you have, this is what's taking place in the spirit. Okay, the border of the board is our boundary of the tabernacle. So you have the outer court, you have the brazen altar, the laver. Okay, you have your holy place and your most holy place. All right. Okay. Label these. Brazen altar. That's not a Z. I'm sorry. Handwriting's bad. Okay, so here's your outer court. Okay, and here's the Ark of the Covenant. So the Ark of the Covenant was there. So now, when people pray, and in this manner pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Well, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when you come to the Father, you begin with the point where it's just like, all right, you're coming in to him because you know that he's the one that can, you're starting there, and you enter his gates with thanksgiving. The brazen altar, verse 10, right, and thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So you when you start down this track, you know that you're going to the one that is able to answer you, is able to help you in your situation. Give us this day our daily bread. The thing about the altar in the Old Testament was that it was a place where when people would give sacrifices, that they would also acknowledge God's provision in their life. And people gave sacrifices according to what God had done with them. So like you remember with Mary and Joseph, you know, when they had to provide a sacrifice for Jesus, they took turtle doves because they were poor compared to other people. So that was the sacrifice that they could offer. So basically, you see in each one of these things, the laver is a place of washing. You know, so you'd wash your hands, you'd wash your sins. You're like, and it was also reflective, so you could see yourself. So you would see yourself even as you were while you're washing this stuff off of you. So each one of these stages, as you move in and as you move closer towards the Father, the Lord's or the disciples' prayer, the Lord's prayer, you're touching on different aspects of what can be going on in your life, or what can be going on in your, when you begin with praise and worship. The scriptures tell us how God inhabits the praises of his people. We know that the environment of heaven, for example, is an environment of worship, that all are worshiping the Father there. And so what happens is, so say for example, your life sucks right now. Everything is really, really difficult. Whatever's going on, just start praising him. Just start praising the Father. Because what happens is when you start doing that, all of a sudden now, you are creating an environment that's the same as the one that the Father lives in all the time anyways. And so that's why when you begin doing something like that, and you just are approaching, for example, entering into that place in the spirit, in that other dimension, what happens is like you feel your own burdens beginning to be lifted because of the fact that you are crossing into a place where he's taking it, not you. So it's like if things are just horrible, well, just wherever you are, shift that gear. Shift into that place where you're beginning to praise him and to worship him for who he is. And now it's not this, you know, oh thou who flung the stars in the sky and created the highest heaven. I mean, he knows he did all that. Let it be open communication with the Father. Praise him for who he is. Praise him, thank him for what he's done for you. Because he's done so much for you already. You know, this when I was a kid, they used to have this count your blessings song, like count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and you'll be surprised to see what God has done. Yeah. But basically, just, you know, be grateful. I know, gosh, things you remember. Be grateful for what it is that God has already done in your life. Begin there. So we're out of time, but we'll spend more time on this we're at 8:30. We're going to stop on time. Yeah, no, you want to keep going. Oh no, I saw the look of the watch. We come into the Father through Christ Jesus. We connect up with Him, but as you do that, prayer, what it does for you is, again, it strengthens your spirit man. See, and I want to couple this a little bit with the Word. Last week I said, you know, it'll strengthen you if you just begin to be consistent with your prayer and with just reading the Scriptures. Because that dimension of your being feeds off of the presence of God and is strengthened by the presence of God and the Word of God. And so even when Scriptures talk about fasting, we may have to cover this in another time, but fasting is going without, basically just going without food or something natural, that so that you're more attuned to spirit. So you discipline the body so that you can be more sensitive to spiritual reality. And again, fasting should be led by the Spirit of God. It shouldn't be something that you do, because if you do it just from your own, you know, oh, I'm going to go fast now. All you'd be is hungry at the end of that. You know, but if the Spirit of God leads you to a fast, then it's not laborious. He sustains you in that. So, but basically, with prayer, be consistent with it and learn to not just, like Jesus said, look, get away, close your door, find a place where you can be alone with God, but learn to cultivate that as part of your lifestyle, so that what happens is when you step out of that and you have to go into all the things that he wants you to be in the world and not of the world. He wants you to be out there. He has a mission. He has assignments for you. He has things that he would have you to be about while you're here. But you need to stay in connection with him so that you can hear that. So learn to cultivate the presence of God, and so that you can also be sensitive to what he's speaking to you. Because see, he's always speaking. He's always speaking to his people. And so, we're going to pick this up next week from here. But between now and next week, just make it a point to say, all right, between now and next week, I'm going to be consistent in reading the Word and just in prayer. And if you get up at 7 o'clock, get up at 6:40 and just cut out some time to spend with the Father. And then maintain that state. Work to maintain that state throughout the day. Just see what happens. Pray your day. If you know you have stuff coming up for the day, if you know you have some meetings, you know you have some things, pray it through before you even get there. Because the battle is always won in the spirit before you ever see something in the natural. So if you know you got something coming up, ask God to take it over. Ask the Father to be in that, to show you what He's got going on, to quicken you, to give you favor in something if you need it for some purpose that He's revealing. And He'll always win that ahead of you. So, but prayer is one of your most powerful weapons that you have to walk out this life in. God listens and is attuned to the prayers of His people. So when you pray for His people, also know that He will answer. And when He answers, He shakes the very heavens for His children. So there's nothing that He won't do for those that are walking in Him. And walking in, and so, yeah, we're just going to break here, otherwise I keep going but as he prays, or as you pray, also it's communication, and he will speak back. You know, you will talk to him, he will be speaking to you, and you start growing in this connection and you start learning how the voice of God speaks with you. Then it starts getting really exciting, because then it's just like you start seeing how life and your adventure here unfolds, because he's leading you. So, but the Lord's Prayer, just you know, between now and next week, take it as something that just pray it through and just spend a little bit of time in each section. Read it, pray it, and then just spend time in what that calls for. So if you're praying for God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done in earth, in me, in this earthen vessel, as it is in heaven, you're praying for that manifestation of the Spirit of God in you. You're allowing for that. God, burn out everything that's not like you, and let what comes through be you. You know, this is the car. I get in the driver's seat, and you take over. You drive. I'll just be along for the ride. Okay, done. Stop there. See, one other thing too is there's power in our prayers, because when Scripture says that Elijah was a man like us, when he prayed, he shut up the heavens as far as rain went, and for 3 years it didn't rain. So when we pray, God affects the reality, because He uses us, He covenants with us to accomplish His purposes in the earth. So as you connect up with the Father, then you're in a place, bless you, where He then speaks and works through you because you're His ambassador in the earth. So like, for example, say the things that are going on in this nation right now. We, as this little tiny group here in this room that we're starting to run out of space, we can pray for something to take place in this nation or for God to intervene in a situation, and He does. And He will. Like, for example, one of my dad and I, when we pray that God would expose the rats in this country. You know, as far as like these people that are doing all these things that hurt people. And next day, just like stuff's just right there. Now it's like, okay, now what? God, how would you have us to pray about things? So, for example, let's just do something even now. Let's pray that we would see God's justice for things that are taking place in this nation between now and next week. Let's exercise that authority that God has given us here and ask for that. And let's see what He does. So, because you can come to God with anything on an individual level, group level, family, country, people that are around you, and see, you are the ones with the connection to the Father. Other people, they don't have that connection. So how can they call on the one that they don't even know? So you, many times, have to intercede for them. Like, I know a lot of things that happen in my life are because people are praying for me. And they're praying, they're in the Spirit, God has called them to watch out for me, so they watch out for me in the Spirit, and that allows me space to do a lot of other things. It's this beautiful back and forth that's there. The body is working together. But you are the ones with the connection to the Father. So use that. Utilize that for His purposes that He has here on earth. So, shall we just, we'll close out for the night. But let's pray and ask God for that too. So just when we pray, we just combine our faith together for that. We ask God for that. And because we are in Christ Jesus, we know that He hears our prayers. Okay. Father God, we thank You, Lord, so much. Lord, we thank You, Father God, that in Jesus Christ, Lord, we can come before Your throne, Lord, and we can ask You for anything, and we can ask You for everything, Father, because, Lord, You hear us, Lord God. And so, Father, as a group, Lord God, of Your sons and Your daughters, Lord God, we come before You right now. And, Lord, we pray, Father God, we pray for all that is going on around us, Lord God. Father, we pray, Lord, for the situation taking place in this nation, Lord. Lord, we just ask that You would forgive us, Father, for the things that we could have done, Lord, that we haven't. But, Lord, we just pray that that right now, Lord, for what is happening in this nation, that, Lord, that You would intervene, Father. Lord, you see, Lord God, the suffering, Lord, of so many people in this land, Lord, and so many that don't know you, Father. We pray right now, Lord God, that you would, for those that are crying out for justice, Lord, and they don't know where to go, Lord God, we intercede on their behalf right now. And Father, we pray, Lord God, that you would grant them justice, Lord God. Father, that you would work justice in this nation, Lord God, and that you would stretch out your hand. Father, that you would put fear, Lord God, into the hearts of those, Lord God, that have thumb their nose at humanity, Lord. Thumb their nose, Lord God, at their own people, Father God, that destroy, Lord, the lives of others, Lord, and destroy the earth. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you would remind them, Father, that they are but men. Lord, the very breath that's in their body, Lord God, it is on loan from you, Father. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would put them, Father God, into a right state of understanding their position, Lord God, and that, Lord, that you hold the very atoms of their body together, Lord God. We pray, Father, that you would grant justice to the people, Lord, of this nation. Lord, we pray, Father, that over this next week, Lord, that we would see your hand, Lord, at work in this land. Lord, that you would fight, Father, for the people, Lord, that can't fight for themselves, Lord. And Father, above all, Lord God, in this nation, Father, there's a need for a heart turn, Lord. Because even if there was peace tomorrow, Father God, and there was no violence, and there was prosperity in this land, Lord, within materialism and all that, it wouldn't make any difference, Father, because if the hearts are not changed, Lord, people are still going the wrong way. So, Father, we pray, Lord God, that you would turn hearts in this nation, Lord God, that you would turn hearts unto you, Father, that you would raise up, Lord, a people that know you, Lord, a people that walk with you, Lord, that are protected by your Spirit, Father, that know the name, Lord God, and that walk in the power of your name. Lord, we pray, Father, that you would raise them up even during these days, Lord God, that we live in, and use us, Father, according to your plan and purpose for that. Lord, I pray, Father, we pray right now for everybody that is here, Lord. We pray that you would bless the work of their hands and the places that you have them. Father, that the work that they do, Lord God, would be what you would have them to do, Father. If it's not, Lord God, we pray that you would create the way for what you do have for them, Lord, and give them the boldness to step into that. And Lord, for them, Lord, and for their families and for all of their concerns, we just lay them all before your feet, Lord, and we know that you are in control. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you bless our families, Lord God, Lord, that you would protect them, and Father, that you would draw them unto yourself, Lord God, because you love them, Lord God, and you know them, and Lord, we intercede for them. Lord, we pray, Father, that you would use us, Lord, for your plan and your purpose in this nation, and Lord, that you would watch over us even as we're in this country, Lord, by your plan and your design. So, Lord, we thank you, Father, for this. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your life, Lord, that you've given us in Christ Jesus. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.